The following is an encore episode of The Archbishop Show with Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde and featuring the Director of the Office of Evangelization and Family Life, Patrick Ahrensburg. On this episode, Archbishop Rohde and Patrick Ahrensburg interview former NFL QB and now St. Michael Head football coach, Philip Rivers. We hope you enjoy. From the Archdiocese of Mobile, Archangel Radio presents The Archbishop Show with our shepherd, Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde, and featuring the Director of the Office of Evangelization and Family Life, Patrick Ahrensburg. And now, your host, Patrick Ahrensburg.
Hello, welcome to The Archbishop Show. I'm Patrick Ahrensburg, Director of the Office for Evangelization and Family Life. Hello, Archbishop.
Well, Pat, it is good to be with you and all those who are joining us on the broadcast. And especially, we have a very special guest today.
We do. And, you know, I mowed the grass on Saturday, and it had that football smell to it, Archbishop. You know, there's a different smell in the summer.
Yeah, you're right. And, well, speaking of football, should we tell everyone who's with us now or after our prayer?
Well, I think they need to stick around and listen to the prayer, and then they'll get
all right.
They'll be brought in.
Okay. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Oh, dear God, thank you for the gift of faith, and help us to spread your good news of salvation, to spread the faith by our example, by what we say, by what we do, and the effect we have in the lives of others. As we offer our prayer through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All right, I'm going to lateral the ball to you, Pat.
Oh, there's an image.
All right.
All right, so we're very blessed to be joined in studio by Philip Rivers, the new head coach at St. Michael Catholic High School. Welcome.
Thank you, Pat. Archbishop, thanks. Glad to be here.
Welcome back to the Archdiocese of Mobile. I know you visited a few times, but now you're permanently here.
We are here and excited. Enjoying it, getting settled in. We got in about the first week of March, and it's been awesome.
There's something really special about the Archdiocese of Mobile. So it's hard to put my finger on it, but it's there. It's palpable. You know, you gave a sermon this morning about the Holy Spirit, and he's here. And I don't know if you knew.
They don't know who you're referring to. You gave a sermon. Which one?
Oh, Archbishop.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Father Philip Rivers. Thank you. gave a homily on the Holy Spirit and what the Spirit does. And did you know, Mr. Rivers, that the bay that you crossed to come over today was originally called the Bay of the Holy Spirit?
Awesome. I did not know.
And so I think that the Holy Spirit has been living here for a long time.
Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome.
So can you tell us how you came to be here in Mobile?
Yeah, well, it's lots of different factors, and really they all sum up in God, and the Holy Spirit has us here. I mean, my family really believe that we were called to be here. You know, I've always wanted to coach. My dad grew up son of a coach, and always knew I wanted to coach when I was done playing. Where that would be was the question. And we, you know, I grew up in North Alabama. My wife's family's in Franklin, Tennessee, just south of Nashville. We spend quite a bit of time in the summers. We would always come over and go over to that in that stretch of, you know, off of 30A over there in between Destin and Panama City. And so we thought somewhere from the Gulf. You know, I grew up going to Orange Beach as a young child with my family. Somewhere from the Gulf to Nashville was kind of our broadened map of where we hoped to end up one day. And then little by little, you know, we met a family, we hear about this new school, you know, we meet Mr. Weber, we started to talk about, see the vision of the school and how authentically Catholic that it is, and the values and what it stands for and what it's about. And then you realize it's 2 hours from the beach where we love to go. It's 5 hours from home. And it just kind of all came together. I was like, this is the spot. And and it's all come together. Now it's reality, and our family's here and on this journey, and we're loving it.
Now, you mentioned being raised in North Alabama. Were you raised Catholic? Are you lifelong Catholic? Your folks Catholic?
Yeah, I was. My faith comes from my mom's side. My mom's side, big Catholic family in Tupelo, Mississippi. And my dad was actually a convert. And so grew up in the faith all along. You know, the biggest thing, which is the most simple, I guess, of our faith, was we never missed Mass on Sunday. You know, that was the constant. you know, again, other parts of our faith, the rosary and all these things kind of have come over time. But that one constant was we were there every Sunday. And that's really when I went off to college and, you know, you kind of now you're on your own. You know, mom and dad aren't waking you up to go on Sundays. That's when it really became my own. But that was so ingrained in me, was to get to Mass on Sundays. And I think, you know, the graces, obviously being fed with the Eucharist, and then the graces that come from being a regular Mass attender, it was just so ingrained. And then my wife's actually a convert. It's interesting, as we speak today, which is a few days before this will air, but it's her 20 years of her coming into the church. Our faith, me and my wife's relationship was centered on Christ, but you know, she was a non-denominational Christian in the Bible Belt of the South, and I was, you know, North Alabama Catholic, which they, at the time, 20 something years ago, that it's grown there, but wasn't as strong then, and you know, over time, you know, she just, and that was her big thing she said that led her to come to the church was the real presence in the Eucharist. She once she believed that to be true, as we know it is, she said, all the rest I'll get to when I get to, but I can't deny that. And so anyway, so our family and our faith, it's been built on the church and on our faith, and certainly thankful for all the blessings we've received, I think in large part because that's been our foundation.
Now, you mentioned, you know, always wanting to coach. So I kind of get the sense from you that that was primary, and playing was, I mean, you enjoyed it and was important. But as a little kid, you were picturing yourself calling plays and you're drawing up plays in the dirt and all that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, I think so. And a lot of it because I was around my dad's teams. I mean, I would go to school, ride the bus over to the high school, walk across the street and be the ball boy and the water boy. And I was just always, you know, listening to him tell his quarterback, you know, the plays. And then I obviously got to play for him. So, you know, that was obviously, I looked forward to the day to coach. I do love to play, still love to play. I certainly will miss that part of it. But being out there, and, you know, you think about so many different levels you can coach in. And I've had so many great coaches in all different, you know, college, high school, and pros. But something about this high school age boy is they're just so formative. It's just formative years that's such bigger than just the X's and O's, you know. And that part of it, I think, is what really added to the desire and passion for want to be at this level. And then getting to do it at a Catholic high school, then now you have the whole package of what you can really do and hopefully have a positive influence on the boys.
So was it hard playing for your dad?
It was awesome. It was awesome. There were times when he pushed me a little harder, and he would, when things weren't going good, he could, you know, he could say something to me to kind of get the whole group going. But it was an awesome experience. I look forward to hopefully having the same experience with my, I have two boys that are 13 and 9 one day, to have that same experience. It was such an awesome experience that I was very thankful for.
Your dad knew where all the buttons were.
Oh, he knew. And he knew when he could fuss at me a little more to get the whole group going.
You're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio, 1410 AM, 94.5 FM. Pat Ahrensburg with Archbishop Rohde, and we're honored to be visiting with Philip Rivers, head coach at St. Michael.
You know what I'm excited about with Philip coming to coach at St. Michael Catholic High School is not only the experience, the expertise that he brings, and being blessed also by his dad having been a high school coach, which will certainly give you some insights into, you know, your coaching. But Philip comes as a faith-filled man. And as you mentioned, Philip, at St. Michael Catholic High School, as all three of our Catholic high schools, is truly a Catholic high school. It's very much committed to a Catholic identity, committed to the faith. And you come with the obvious conviction and understanding that being a coach is not just employment, it's a ministry. And that really makes me feel very good about you coaching, in addition to your ability, your experience, but the understanding that sports is not separate from our Catholic identity. It's very much part of it. I mean, the Catholic school has a unique ability to educate the whole student academically, athletically, socially, culturally, and spiritually. And it all fits together. The spiritual part, the theological part, is not just another component. It permeates the whole program.
It certainly does, and that's what I think excites me most, even as a player. You know, I always said faith, family, football, and it's kind of it's and somewhat has become a kind of cliche out there. You know, people say faith, family, football. They throw it around like it's just, you know, a phrase, but it truly was how I tried to center it. But they all interlocked. It wasn't just my faith and then family and then football. They were all intertwined. And that part about the game is what I love so much. I love the X's and O's and the touchdowns and the Friday nights and the Sunday afternoons and all that. But it's the virtue and the characteristics, those traits that you know, the discipline, the toughness, the selflessness, the teamwork, the all those things that are part of the game, that are also part of our faith, that are also part of family, that are also part of your academic. They all are intertwined, as you said, Archbishop, and that's what's exciting to me. And you look at, I mean, the statistics show a high school football player, I mean, the percentages of them going on to college are small and even smaller to play in the NFL. So for most of our boys, and the ones that have a chance and want to play further, we want to help them and coach them and give them that opportunity. But for most of them, their high school football is the end of their playing career. So you want that. So it's way more than the X's and O's. You want them to have a positive experience. You want them to learn something that helps them be a better man, a better father, a better whatever it is they go off and do. And so that's the biggest thing for us as a program, is hopefully them gaining way more than just, oh, I learned how to, you know, run a post corner. Hopefully it's way deeper than that. And, you know, I remember as my dad, who coached at a public high school his whole life, and certainly tried to do his best to implement these same things, right, at a secular public school. But he always said his trophies were in his desk drawer, from the letters of all his players that wrote him that said, "Coach, I played for you in '88, and now I'm married with three kids, and I remember this. All right, it was some of the best experience of my life, was those teams and how hard you pushed us and all those things." So that's what we hope to give as a staff and as a school to these players in the football program and all throughout the school, not just the football players. You know, I think that the football players who I will be around the most, but hopefully it trickles out into the school. And because I mean, 60 boys in a football team can have a big impact on the school with how they act and how they treat the girls in the school, how they are in the classroom. It can have a bigger impact than just the guys in that locker room.
You know, we can argue about the propriety or impropriety of what I'm about to say, but the reality is I'm not sure that there's anybody on campus that has a greater impact on kids' spiritual lives than the football coach. I mean, they have such power that trickles down to the 60 kids that they are intimately connected with. It's powerful. It's off the charts what can happen. I taught religion, theology for 17 years. Well, the kids expected to hear it from me. They don't expect necessarily to hear it from a coach. So when they get it kind of out of the blind side, it has a great impact.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I've certainly seen it in my own life at all different levels with great coaches. I mean, in many different ways, some that were just great teachers of the game, some that were great quarterback coaches, some that were unbelievable in tying in a vision and helping you see what, you know, the goals were. I mean, there's just so many different coaches that I've had. You know, I always have said my dad was my favorite coach, and then I've had so many beyond that. But one phrase that a coach always gave, always that stuck with me, was the power of example is greater than the example of power. You know, and so that's the biggest thing, is it's not just, oh, I played 17 years and I'm the head coach now and I'm gonna, it's more what is the power of the example that I can give to these boys, hopefully. And again, the thing that excites me too is it's not about me. Yeah, I want it to be about the kids. You know, I want it to be about the players. And all the coaches I was around, the ones that I loved the most were the ones that made it about the players. I've told these young 17-year-olds, hey, this is your football team. It's not my team. It's not Coach Quarterpassy's team. It's not Coach Dupre's team. This is your football team, and it will go, you know, it'll operate how, but you help cultivate it. You want them to have ownership in it. I think that, especially this day and age, it seems to me the young people want ownership. And so you have a way to, you know, we share that a little bit, but you want to give them that ownership, and then they take pride in it, and then it's even more valuable and important to them.
You know, Pat, talk about influence that a coach can have. Let me just share a personal story. It was November 1963. And gentlemen, I don't care when you all were born, but it was November 1963. I remember this, and I was a 14-year-old freshman in high school. We were at PE in the gym with the coach, the football coach, and announcement came on over the loudspeaker that President Kennedy had been shot. And the coach stopped PE class, and this was an all-boys Catholic high school, and he said to us, gentlemen, go sit on the bleachers. And we sat on the bleachers, and he said, we're going to pray the rosary for the president. And with that, he pulled out a rosary from his pocket. And let me tell you, this group of freshmen high school kids, our reaction was, whoa, the coach carries a rosary. That impressed us. And I'm not the only one, but you all on the radio can't see this right now, but I'm pulling out a rosary from my pocket. You know, thanks, coach. I can't tell you that I've carried that rosary every day since then, but I can tell you I do now. I've carried it most days since then. That little thing, talk about example. He didn't say anything about, guys, I carry a rosary or whatever. He just pulled his rosary out of his pocket and started praying, leading us in the rosary, pray for the president.
Awesome.
Powerful, powerful example, which, 58 years later, I still remember.
Yeah, yeah. It's awesome.
Philip, can you talk about the, you know, one of the things that I noticed or as I coached for most of the years that I was teaching is the opportunity to grow leadership skills in the kids. Are there ways that you explicitly do that, or if you can talk about the leadership formation of the kids?
I think the biggest thing I've learned is to allow them to lead in their way that fits their personality. You know, this is all things, and by no means do I have them mastered or am I an expert in them, but you learn out of so many people you've been around, teammates and coaches, that sometimes as coaches you want your players to, and you coach them the way you want to coach them. And then it's, well, this guy learns a little better this way, and this guy learns a little better this way, and this guy this way. And I think it's the same as leaders. Some are better vocal, and they love to call the team up, and they have a good message. And then others, they never say a word. And then you go, well, he's one of the best leaders on the team. And you go, how? He's never said anything because his example of how he works. So I think some of it is allowing them to be themselves. And I'm still getting to know these young boys. You know, I've been with them, maybe 8 weeks or so. But I think you let it happen organically, let it happen naturally. I try not to. We have some, the boys would already know some of the phrases and things that I've kind of implemented. But I try not to make too many because I've also remember those coaches that had all these cliches and it was just cliche after cliche and it was saying after saying and then they wear out. You know, if you overuse certain things, it kind of runs its course and then they turn you off. And then when you really want to get that point across, they go, we've heard this so many times that we don't know if this is an important moment. So I'm still learning that being on this side of it. I'm used to being a teammate, now being the coach and not being a teammate. It's new for me, and I'm learning every day. And it's been a lot of fun. We've had a good spring. Look forward to the summer. The boys are working hard. It's a great group. And I'm having a heck of a lot of fun being with them.
So I never played on a team that there weren't multiple guys who could do great impressions of the head coach. So we'll give it about 4 or 5 more weeks and we'll find out what Coach Rivers sounds like.
I'm sure we'll have some.
There's
all of my teammates could do great impressions and I wasn't even the coach, but yes, there's always those.
Bill, what would you want your players to take with them as Bay leave high school?
Well, I hope that they have grown as a man and grown in their faith, most importantly. And then I hope it's some of those small, the virtues is what I usually say, the virtues, but some of those character traits that are paramount to succeeding on the football field, that those have been maybe a little deeper embedded and become a part of them as a person. Because, like we said, as they go 19, 20, 21 and go on, they're not playing football anymore, but hopefully something from those disciplines or that toughness or that selflessness or that teamwork, they've go, man, I remember we did that, and I remember we did that on the practice field, and they take that to their business, or they take that to what they've done. So I want them to grow. You know, I think the biggest thing is to grow. We talk about growth and great growth as players. I asked them, do you want growth or great growth? And of course, they all say great growth. And so, as the saying goes, if you have spirit and being at a Catholic high school, we can talk about if you have the Holy Spirit, but also if you just have a great spirit, you know, you have a good approach and a passion for being out there. Spirit plus comfortable equals growth, and spirit plus uncomfortable equals great growth. So I tell them after they volunteer that they want great growth, I go, so it's our job as coaches to make you uncomfortable. You know, and to have them just get a little bit out of the comfort zone. Oh, it's a little bit tough. It's a little bit hard. Oh, man, we got to do this. And you go, yeah, well, that's how you grow. And all of us grow. I mean, we all need that uncomfortableness to have that great growth. And so that's one of the ways that I'm trying to help create an environment that stretches them a little bit and makes them a little uncomfortable, but in a good, healthy way that can help them grow.
You're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio. Pat Ahrensburg here with Archbishop Brody and Philip Rivers, the new coach at St. Michael Catholic High School. Philip, you mentioned you've used the word virtues a few times, and I'm thinking, if there's somebody, you know, a lot of our listeners aren't football first people. What are some of the sort of the crossover of the virtues that we learn in football that you instill in the players that cross over into being an accountant or a dad and the real life stuff?
Yeah, well, I mean, gosh, I mean, we could go on and on if we sat here, and I would need a we could sit here and look at all of them and go one by one. But I mean, the ones I think of in general, you know, I think of humility stands out to me, because I think that tends to be in the sports world, and certainly in the profession I was in for the last 17 years, that tends to be something we all fight in every. Facet. And I feel like even the young high school big football player that gets to wear their jersey to school and all that, they can battle that. And so I could go on and on from there. But I think just all those character traits, all those, if we just listed what do you want qualities and what does it take to be, take football out of it. A man in our faith, to be a strong man of faith, you know, the discipline, I mentioned that, the discipline, I even throw in toughness in there. I know it's not necessarily a virtue, the toughness, but the selflessness, all the commitment, all those things that you have, they go in our faith, in our family life, as a husband, as a father, all those things, they carry over. And it was just like yesterday, you know, yesterday at practice, we were done with practice, and usually one of the boys leads us in prayer, and I said, I got it today, guys, you know, and not because I had any profound deep prayer to give, but it was just reminding them that sometimes you lose sight of it. But hey, guys, we're not here to play football. We're not here to coach football. We're not here to catch passes. We're really here to know, love, and serve God. How can we do that better? And so it was just a reminder to them, here we are on the practice field finishing a practice, and it's always been about, we got to block that guy, we got to make that play. I mean, that's what the 2 hours was. And then it was just in my prayer to God for us was, let's keep us reminded on what's our real purpose. So I think there's just that fine, there's that balance. And like you said, there's something to me about it. We're on a football field, we're sweaty, it's hot, we've argued a little bit, we fussed at them a little bit, they've laughed, they've all those things, then let's bring it back. What are we doing again? You know, we're not just here to try to win a state championship. All those things you can still have. You have all these goals. Please, we're going to have them. But let's also not lose sight of the real reason.
Pat, you made me think of a guy I was listening to one time give a talk. He had nothing to do with religion or faith, but he was a businessman, and he was talking to a group of business people, and he said, I run my business the way, according to what I was taught by my football coach in high school. Mm-hmm. And he said three things. He says, our coach said he wanted us to play by the rules. He said, oh, he would never say if You ain't cheating, you ain't trying. He said, no, no. He said, you play by the rules. And he says, I run my business honestly and legally and ethically. He said, I know some people don't. I know some people end up in jail. But I play according to the rules. You one of my customers, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to pad the bill. I'm not going to cheat you. I play by the rules. He said, the second thing, coach said, do your best. And he said, my business, every day I get up and I go give it all. I feel like I'm out on the field and I'm going to do my best in serving my customers, making a good product. Really, you deal with my company, you're going to get our best effort. And he said, coach said, you're not out to injure the other player. He says, and I'm not going to try and injure my competitors. I'm going to try and beat them. You know, coach says, you hit them as hard as you can, but you're not out to injure them.
Yeah.
And he says, when I go out, I'm competing with the other businesses, and I'm out to get their customers from them, but not by lying about them, not by trying to put them down, just by saying, I got a good product here. He said, I run my business the way coach taught us how to play football. And I thought that was he wasn't talking about faith. I wish he had added that, you know, but maybe he didn't have a faith-filled coach. But what coach taught him, he was carrying on into his business.
That's awesome. We talk a lot. We've talked a lot so far about we've kind of, if I asked if any of the players were in here, I said, hey, it's all about what, guys? They would say it's all about the process. We've kind of talked about it's all about the process. And Frank Reich last year was great about that, about saying, hey, we're not going to ride the wave of highs and lows. We're just going to be steady and make it all about the process, the daily, how do I get better today? Can I get better today, right now, in this moment? And then, you know, the phrase nunc chepi, which is, I always have on my hat, you know, now we begin. You know, it's a never-ending beginning. And so the boys have kind of really latched onto that. You know, I have heard it a few times on the practice field, you know, after a bad play, hey, nunc chepi, we begin again. And even after a good play, we begin again. And so that you know, applies. And as you say that, it's interesting, Archbishop, you say that. I was trying to think about some of the, you know, I've always thought you don't want to have too many team rules. You know, you shouldn't have to have too many team rules if you create a culture, an environment, and a trust. And the whole phrase, you know, rules without relationships leads to rebellion. You know, so if we just have a bunch of rules, but we're not really relationship oriented with the kids, then, you know, that does a hill of beans. But one of our number one rule is protect the team. And I just, that covers so many, you know, you could have a list of things under that, you know, but protect the team. And so we talk about that and how they operate. You know, it should be, I always say, you should be worrying about, you know, the consequence, not so much the consequence, but how you are offending God in your actions, in your decisions. What should you, what does God want me to do? But also protect the team. You know, how is this going to affect my team by me choosing to do this or to do that? Or should I work out or should I not work out? Well, are you protecting the team? All those things. So I think that's kind of hit home with them a little bit, because even on the practice field, it applies in so many different ways. So those are some little things that we've tried to at least get started. And hopefully you look back 10 years from now and they're staples, and those things are still part of the core foundation that we've set. And it's a lot of fun. It's a challenge for me every day. I'm learning every day and loving it.
Well, Philip, thank you for coming over, and thank you for all you do for the kids. I certainly see the crossover between that kind of talk of protecting the team to protecting the body of Christ, the church, and a lot of parallels, Archbishop, between football and life.
Yep, and good luck, Philip, and go Cardinals. So let us end with a blessing, and may the blessing of God be upon you, all of you and your loved ones, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Until next time.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to The Archbishop Show with our shepherd, Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde, as well as Pat Ahrensberg, the Director of the Office of Evangelization and Family Life. And now, stay tuned for more solid Catholic programming on Archangel Radio.